Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-ameen. And may he raise the rank of his trustworthy messenger and grant him peace. Amma ba'd. As for what follows, then praise be to Allah, the one who has granted us success in reaching this fourth session of the tafsir of Surah Ar-Rahman. From the tafsir of the great scholar, Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on him. We are on page 311 of the printed tafsir that begins with Surah Al-Dhariyat or Surah Al-Hujurat. And we have reached the statements of Allah Ta'ala, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان, which is the 26th verse, is that right? 26th verse of Surah Ar-Rahman. And last week, which was the 18th of Rabi' al-Thani, we discussed some very in-depth issues of the pearls and corals in the oceans and rivers, and the barrier that exists between the salt water and the seawater, with some very interesting and enlightening discussions. And thanks and praise be to Allah Ta'ala, and we ask Him to facilitate for us in this day more benefit and more knowledge of His book and of His religion. ثُمَّ قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So we begin on this 25th eve, or the eve of the 25th day of Rabi al-Awwal, Rabi al-Thani, 1436. We begin here after praying Salat al-Maghrib at al-Masjid al-Awwal with our broadcast that goes around the world on Mirath Radio. May Allah Ta'ala bless the Masjid and the radio, the administration of both, and those who support and attend both. ثُمَّ قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih, he says, then Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا, everyone on it, أي كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, everyone on earth, فَانٍ, فَان, أي ذَاهِبٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالْحَيَوَانِ وَالْأَشْجَارِ, every one of them is going away, everyone will be, will have an end. It's coming to an end. That is, all jinn kind, all mankind, every animal, and every bit of vegetation. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. Everyone on the earth, every single thing on the earth, is coming to an end. Right? قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى, and Allah, the Mighty and Most High, or the Blessed and Most High, He said, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا. We have made, verily we have made everything on earth to be a decoration for it. لِنَبَلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In order to test them, meaning the inhabitants of the earth, which of them is best indeed. وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا أَيْ خَالِيًا. And verily, we are surely going to make everything on it a desolate, barren land. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and Allah, the Most High, has said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ, and they ask you about the mountains. فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا. Say, my Lord will level them or bring them down to nothingness. فَيَذَرُهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا, and so he will leave them so that they are like flat ground. No mountains at all, nothing left. أَيَذَرُ الْأَرْضَ قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا. He will leave the earth to be a flat, barren land. أَوْ يَذَرُ الْجِبَالَ بَعْدَ أَنْ كَانَتْ عَالِيَةً شَامِخَةً قَاعًا كَالْقِيعَانِ مُسَاوِيَةً. Or he shall leave the mountains after they were magnificently large mountains, he will level them and flatten them to be like a flat plain of ground, equal to the areas that were around them. Safa, like in flat levels. La tara fiha iwajan wala amta. That's the next verse from Surah Taha. These verses are from Surah Taha, 105, 106, 107. And you will not find any iwaj or any amt. Any amt. Hamza, mimta, amt. Right? Mujahid ibn Jabr, rahimahullah, the great imam of the tabi'een, he said, inkhifadan wartifa'an. Yani, this iwaj means a dipping down, and the amt means a hill or some kind of elevation. So he said then, the meaning of qa'an saf safa, to be leveled flat into flat land, is what Allah says in the next verse, لا ترى فيها عوجا ولا أمتا. And you won't see any dipping down, any valley, or any mountain or hill, meaning total flat land. And it was Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, another imam of the tabi'een, he said, Al-Iwaj man khafadha min al-ard, wal-amt ma nashaza min al-rawabi. Same kind of tafsir, that the Iwaj is what goes up. I'm sorry, what goes down, what dips down in the earth. And the amt is what comes up mountains and hills. أي لا ترى واديا ولا رابيا. You will see no valley, and you will see no heights. You will see no hills. And these statements of these early imams of tafsir were collected by the great imam Al-Baghawi in his tafsir of that verse. Nam Sheikh Sadiq. I'm in Surah Rahman, but right now we're explaining a few verses from Surah Taha that the Shaykh is using to explain the meaning of everyone on it shall come to an end. Right? So he's talking about specifically the mountains. And it's important to look at the mountains because Allah Ta'ala mentions the mountains so much in the Quran. And it's beautiful for us in this city of Pittsburgh to consider the mountains because it's our environment, the Allegheny Mountains. The Mount Washington right over there. As stable and as fixed as you think that is, as you believe it to be, you know, that will be flattened, not only flattened so that it becomes rocks, but flattened like there was no mountain there before. So these mountains that we consider to be magnificent and amazing and immovable, that they shall come on the Day of Judgment being flattened, and the earth being made totally flat, so there's no rise and no dip in the landscape. Wallahu musta'an, may Allah Ta'ala save us from the terrors of that day. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And remaining will be the face of your Lord, the owner of majesty and honor, or the owner of majesty and grace. That's the 27th verse of Ar-Rahman. أَيَبْقَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. The meaning of the face of Allah remaining is that Allah will remain the mighty and majestic, ذُو الْوَجْهِ الْكَرِيمِ, the one with the noble, majestic face. وَكَانَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ إِذَا قَرَأَ هَاتَيْنِ الْآيَتَيْنِ. And some of the Salaf, when they used to read these two verses, وَصَلَ بَعْضَهُمَا بِبَعْضٍ, they would connect them together, meaning they wouldn't stop at the end of the 26th verse. Rather, they would read verses number 26 and 27 without stopping between them. Which indicates to you what? That the sunnah is to stop at every verse. But here and there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, or his companions, or the early imams, would have certain chosen places where they would not stop at the end of a verse. And this is one of them. As mentioned by our Shaykh here, that some of the Salaf, some of the early predecessors, used to connect these two verses when they read them. And you know, in the Mus'haf, there are signs. There is a little meme that they write on top of, or at the end of a passage, which is something that it is a must to stop at. Because if you connect that, whether it's between two verses or inside of one verse, when you see that little meme there, you must stop, because connecting that passage without stopping would create a meaning, or would allow a meaning to be assumed from that reading that is inappropriate. Right? No. And here, they saw it as being a good thing to connect the verses, not obligatory, right? But as a good thing. قال ليتبين بذلك كمال الخالق ونقص المخلوق, so that comparatively the completion or the perfection of the Creator would be distinct from the deficiency of the creation, right? لأن المخلوق ثان والرب باق, because all of the creation, they're going away, they're passing, they're fading away, they're leaving, they're going to be destroyed. And the Lord, He is the one who remains. He is باقٍ. وهذه الملاحظة جيدة أن تصل. This note, or this way of reading the Quran, taking note of the meanings of the verses and connecting these two verses in this way, the Shaykh, he says, this is good. This is a nice way to connect two verses. فَتَقُولُ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. So you read them together like that. Everyone on it shall be vanquished or shall go away, and the face of your Lord, the Mighty, or the Majestic and Graceful, remains. وَهَذَا هُوَ مَحَطُّ الثَّنَاءِ وَالْحَمْدِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And this is a situation where it is befitting that we thank and praise Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. And tafna al-khala'iqu wa yabqa Allah, that all of the creation goes into nothingness, goes away, and the Creator remains, and Allah remains, Azza wa Jal. Wa qawluhu ta'ala wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram, and the statement of Allah the Most High, the face of your Lord, the face of your Lord, the possessor of majesty and grace, remains. فيه إثبات الوجه لله سبحانه وتعالى. In this verse is the affirmation of the attribute of a face for Allah, the glorified and Most High. وَلَكِنَّهُ وَجْهٌ لَا يُشْبِهُ أَوْجُهَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. However, it is a face that does not resemble the faces of His creation. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, due to the statement, His statement, He is the Most High. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing similar to Him, and He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. يعني أنت تؤمن بأن لله وجها, meaning that you are to believe that Allah has a face. لكن يجب أن تؤمن بأنه لا يماثل أوجه المخلوقين. However, it's a must that as you believe in that, you believe that it does not resemble the faces of the created beings. بأي حال من الأحوال, in any way whatsoever. لقوله تعالى, because of His statement, He's the Most High. ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There is nothing similar to Him, and He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. وَلَمَّا ظَنَّ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ التَّعْطِيلِ أَنَّ إِثْبَاتَ الْوَجْهِ يَسْتَلْزِمُ التَّمْثِيلِ. And since some of the people of تَعْطِيلِ, تَعْطِيلِ means to negate the affirmation, they would read a verse like this and say, no, that's impossible, we cannot describe Allah with a face, even when it is Allah Himself that has affirmed for Himself a face. The person of ta'atil, from attala, yu'attilu ta'atilan, fahuwa mu'attilun. He is somebody who negates it and cancels it. He says, okay, that's the statement of Allah, but it doesn't have a meaning, it doesn't affirm a face for Allah. Right? That's a mu'attil. He says, because some of these people, they assumed that affirming the face means that you affirm a similar face, or one that is similar to His creation. أَنْكَرُوا أَنْ يَكُونَ لِلَّهِ وَجْهًا. Because of that false assumption, they said that then there can be no face for Allah, and they negated the face. وَقَالُوا الْمُرَادُ بِقَوْلِهِ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ أَيْ ثَوَابُهُ. And they said, the meaning of his statement that his face remains, the face of your Lord remains, أَيْ ثَوَابُهُ, his rewarding, or his rewards for the servants. أَوْ أَنَّ كَلِمَةَ وَجْهُ زَائِدَ. Or they say, another escape for them, they say the word wajh is just an additional word that doesn't carry any meaning. وَأَنَّ الْمَعْنَى وَيَبَقَى رَبُّكَ. And the meaning is, your Lord remains, without the word wajh there, and they cancel the meaning of the word wajh. وَلَكِنُّهُمْ ضَلُّوا سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. However, they have gone astray with this position of theirs. وَخَرَجُوا عَنْ ظَاهِرِ الْقُرْآنِ. And they have contradicted the apparent meanings of the Qur'an. وَحَرَّفُوهُ. And they have perverted the texts. وَخَرَجُوا عَنْ طَرِيقِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ. And they have contradicted the way of the righteous Salaf. وَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ. We say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَجْهًا. We say Allah has a face. لِإِثْبَاتِهِ لَهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. For his, based on his own affirmation of that for himself in this verse. وَلَا يُمَاثِرُ أَوْجُهَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. And that face does not resemble the faces of his creation. لِنَفْيِ الْمُمَاثَرَةِ فِي قَوْلِهِ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Due to the negation of similarities that he has himself declared in his statement, there is nothing similar to him, and he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. وَبِذَٰلِكَ نَسْلَمْ وَنُجْرِ النُّصُوصَ عَلَىٰ ظَاهِرِهَا. And through this approach, we are safe, we reach safety. And we keep the texts with their obvious apparent meanings. Right? الْمُرَادُ بِهَا, الْمُرَادِ بِهَا, that they were intended to have. Now before going on, I'd like to stop and make a few points that are very important here. And firstly and foremostly, is that when you hear of someone giving tafsir to the Qur'an, and it's said about him that his tafsir is exhaustive, and he's from the best of the people who give tafsir, yet you never hear him stop on an attribute of Allah and explain a basic issue of aqidah like this, then this is a person of fudul al-kalam. This is a person who goes into intricacies of language and detailed matters of language and fails to establish the very foundation of the house, which is the basic aqidah. Notice how this great scholar, known for his insight, known for his concern for the ummah, he stops at every possible occasion to mention the attributes of Allah Ta'ala and to affirm them as the ummah of Muslims have always affirmed the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, the way the Sahaba, the way the Tabi'een, the way the early Muslims understood it from their pure beliefs, from their untainted beliefs that were not yet marred and corrupted by the entrance of Greek philosophy that came into the ummah and caused the people to begin to say statements about Allah Ta'ala that they had no proof for, and to begin to explain away verses of Allah with explanations that were unheard of until that time. And they are the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila, and the Asha'ira. These people who some of them negate the attributes of Allah entirely. Some of them even negate the names of Allah Ta'ala. Or they say they are names that have no real meanings. Names like the Mu'tazila say, the names of Allah Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. They are two names of Allah, but they have no meaning. There is no rahmah intended. There is no mercy intended. So he is Ar-Rahman bila rahmah. He is Ar-Rahman by name only and not an attribute. Foolishness. They were affected by Greek philosophy. They were affected by issues of foreign philosophy that caused them to corrupt the belief system in Islam. And since they appeared, the ulama of Ahl Sunnah began refuting them and clarifying the way for the people who wish to simply affirm what Allah has affirmed. And we say to them with the most logical and compassionate of arguments, would it hurt you? Or how much would it hurt you to say that Allah has an attribute that He Himself said that He has? How much are you stretching the text to say exactly what the text says? Whereas they say, it doesn't really mean that, it means something else, and you have to understand the delicacies of the Arabic language. When it comes to matters of understanding your Lord, do you think Allah sent down code to be deciphered? Did Allah send down clear bayinat about Himself when He described Himself, or puzzles that have to be deciphered and figured out and put together and taken apart and put together a different way? Allahu al-musta'an. Allah sent down clear descriptions of Himself, that He Ta'ala has a face. There's no harm on a person, and there's no deviation, and there's no corruption of any text for him to say, Allah says He has a face, so I say Allah has a face. Is he fallen into danger? Can he be blamed? Allahu al-musta'an. But for a person to say, you know, actually, Allah doesn't have a face. Put the verse of Allah next to his statement. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Then remain the face of your Lord, the mighty, the majestic and graceful, remains. And you say, well, that means His reward remains for those who do good. Or just His self, that He Himself remains, not having a face. And Allah Ta'ala is capable of telling you that He remains and not mentioning a face. But Allah Ta'ala mentioned a face for Himself. How much would it hurt you just to affirm what Allah has affirmed and to be quiet, as our Salaf used to be quiet beyond that? How is the face of Allah? They would get angry with this question. Exactly, how is the face of Allah? This question was viewed by them as bid'ah, innovation in the religion. Why? Because Allah has informed you that He has a face, and He has not given you information beyond that. To speak about Allah is only done with knowledge. So once Allah has informed you of something, you affirm that, and you have no problem in your chest affirming what Allah Himself has affirmed. As for the details of that, then we're not going to go on rationalizing as if Allah is a human being and begin to explain what the face is based on our understanding of a human face. We say Allah has a face that is befitting to His majesty, a face that is not similar to the faces of His creation in any way, a complete and perfect face that He has affirmed for Himself in His book, and I am a believer in that book, and I affirmed what He has affirmed for Himself. Simple. Basic aqidah, safety in this life and in the hereafter. Belief in what Allah Azza wa Jal has sent down. As for the circular arguments or the philosophical, chaotic ramblings of people affected by philosophy, then we have no interest in them and we should shun them and we should tell them to fear Allah. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, as Allah commands us, and do not follow after matters which you have no knowledge of. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. For verily, the hearing, the sight, and the chest, all of that will be brought to questioning. So do not say something about Allah that you have no knowledge of. Do not deny something that Allah has affirmed for Himself. Do not affirm something for Allah that He has denied. Rather, affirm what He has affirmed. Reject what He has rejected. Affirm for Allah uniqueness, sovereignty, attributes of perfection. And negate from Him deficiencies. Negate from Him sleep. Negate from Him weakness. Negate from Him injustice. Negate from Him everything that He has negated from Himself. And you will have the aqidah of the Qur'an, the aqidah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will be safe. وَقَوْلُهُ ذُو الْجَلَالِ, and the statement of His, the possessor of Jalal, أَيْذُ الْعَظَمَ, the possessor of greatness. وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and the possessor of إِكْرَامِ, أَيْ إِكْرَامٌ إِكْرَامُ مَنْ يُطِيعُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, the bestowing of honor, the bestowing of generosity, the bestowing of grace. We can say gracious here for Dhul Ikram. The one who bestows grace. Akrama yukrimu ikraman. There's your verb. And you have from that verb, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fal yukrim daifahu. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him honor his guest. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. And whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his neighbor. So ikram, to honor someone, right? So Allah Ta'ala honors his servants. فَالْإِكْرَامُ أَيْ إِنْ أَوْ أَنَّهُ يُكْرِمُ مَنْ يَسْتَحِقُ الْإِكْرَامُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. He honors, he bestows grace upon every one of his creation that deserves that honor. وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهَا مَعْنًا آخَرٌ. It's possible for this passage to have another meaning. وَهُوَ أَنَّهُ يُكْرَمُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِبَادَةِ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. That he is honored by the worship of his creation. فَيَكُونُ الْإِكْرَامُ هَذَا الْمَصْدَرُ صَالِحًا لِلْمَفْعُولِ وَالْفَاعِلِ. So it's possible for this ikram, the bestowing of honor, to be a word that refers to the servants having that done to them, that they receive the honor from Allah, and that they are the fa'il as well, that they honor Allah. فَهُوَ مُكْرَمْ وَمُكْرِمْ. So Allah is مُكْرَمْ, ismul maf'ul. He is the one honored, وَمُكْرِمْ, and he is the one who honors. However, this tafsir, Allah knows best, is ba'id. In Arabic, it's a very strange thing for us to say, أَكْرَمْتُ رَبِّي بِعِبَادَتِي. And so, وَرَبِّي مُكْرَمْ. And that phrase in Arabic, for those of you who would be reviewing this later, you would say, okay. For those of you who know Arabic, they would say, okay, I understand why that passage is weak, or why that angle of explanation would be weak. We don't say in Arabic, using the word akrama, that Allah is mukram, and that we are the mukrimun, the ones who honor Allah, and Allah is the maf'ul, that he is honored, he is mukram. We say he's ma'bud, and we are abidun. We say that he is ma'luh, right? That he is worshipped. Muta'abbad lahu, that he is the object of worship. We say that he is what? That he is any number of matters that he has affirmed for himself that come from the phrases of the book and the sunnah. But this phrase, to say that Allah is mukram and we are the mukrims, this is a strange statement. So I asked my sheikh about this statement, Sheikh Muhammad Umar Bazmu, in an anonymous way, because of the way I feel about that language there. And this is why it's important as well that not just anyone teaches from the books of the scholars, that there is someone who has some study, so they could realize that our scholars aren't perfect and they can make mistakes. So then, how is it that we're going to recognize those mistakes if we are studying from the books and the one who presents the information has no grounding? He's not going to have any tool by which to say, I'm concerned about this passage or I'm worried about that. So this is one of the occasions where you can see how it's important that the books of the scholars are read by a student who has some grounding. So the Shaykh said, Shaykh Muhammad Umar Bazmu, may Allah Ta'ala preserve him, he said, لَا يُقَالُ هَذَا. He said, this is not to be said. We don't say that Allah is mukram and we are the mukrimun, right? بَلِ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي كَرَّمَنَا وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. He said, it is Allah that honors others, right? It is Allah that honors others, as he said in his book, and we have verily, we have honored the children or the descendants of Adam, meaning humankind. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And which of the favors? So then which of the favors of your Lord then do you deny? Meaning jinn and mankind. You hear the tukadhiban. This is the dual plural again, right? And you hear rabbikuma, your two lord, the lord of both of you, meaning jinn kind and mankind. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةُ تَكَرَّرَتْ عِدَّةَ مَرَّاتٍ فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ. And this verse has repeated many times in this chapter of the Qur'an. وَمَعْنَاهَا, and its meaning, أَنَّهُ بِأَيِّ نِعْمَةٍ مِّن نِعَمِ اللَّهِ تُكَذِّبَانِ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. is that which of the ni'mas, the blessings, from the blessings of Allah do you deny, O assembly of jinn kind and mankind? وَهَذَا كَتَحَدِّي لَهُمْ. And this is like a kind of challenge to them. لِأَنَّهُ لَنْ يَسْتَطِيعَ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِمِثْلِ هَذِهِ النِّعَمِ. Because there is no one who could come, who has the ability to bring these kinds of blessings. ثُمَّ قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And of course these kinds of blessings, the oceans, the rivers coming together with a barrier between them, not mixing, the corals and the pearl being brought forth of the ocean to be jewels and to be coveted by mankind as precious jewelry and whatnot. These kinds of blessings, who is it that brings these kinds of blessings other than Allah Ta'ala? ثُمَّ قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then Allah the Glorified and Most High said, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Those in the heavens and those on earth ask Him. They ask Him. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. And each and every day He is involved in some affair. He is involved in an affair. The 29th verse of Surah Ar-Rahman. Ay, the meaning of that is, يَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and on earth, they ask Allah. وَالَّذِي فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ هُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And the occupants of the heavens, they are the angels. يَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They ask from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَمِنْ سُؤَالِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ. And from their questions or from their requests that they make of Allah is وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That they seek forgiveness for those who have believed. They say, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. They say, oh our Lord, you have encompassed everything by your mercy and by your knowledge. فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ. So forgive those who have repented and they follow your way. وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. And save them from the punishment of the fire. إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. And there are other requests or supplications that the angels make to Allah Ta'ala. وَيَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْخَلَائِقِ. And all of the created beings on earth, they ask Allah as well. وَسُؤَالُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the requests from the inhabitants of the earth, directed to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, قِسْمَانِ. They are of two types. الْأَوَّلُ. The first of those two, السُؤَالُ بِلِسَانِ الْمَقَالِ. That is, a verbal, manifested request. A verbally manifested request. Something spoken to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَهَذَا إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. These requests, they come from the believers only. فَالْمُؤْمِنُ يَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ دَائِمًا حَاجَاتِهِ. So the believer, he continually asks his Lord for his needs all the time. لِأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَقْضِيهَا إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Because he knows that no one can fulfill his requests other than Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَسُؤَالُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَسُؤَالُ الْمُؤْمِنِ رَبَّهُ عِبَادَةٌ. And the request made from a believer to his Lord is an act of worship. سَوَاءً حَصَلَ مَقْصُودُهُ أَمْ لَمْ يَحْصُلْ. Whether the request is granted or not. فَإِذَا قُلْتَ يَا رَبِّ أَعْطِينِ كَذَا. So if you were to say, oh my Lord, give me such and such, فَهَذِهِ عِبَادَةٌ. And this is an act of worship. كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. As has come in the narration, الدُّعَاءُ عِبَادَةٌ. That supplication, dua, is a kind of ibadah. That was collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his kitab Tafsir al-Qur'an, from his book Jami' al-Tirmidhi, and he called the hadith Hasanun Sahih. And the scholars of hadith generally agree. الدُّعَاءُ عِبَادَةٌ. That dua is an act of worship. And furthermore, in the book of Allah, and the reason why here, you would say, Look at this. The Shaykh wants to prove that dua is ibadah. He brings an ayah and a hadith. Why does he bring the hadith first and then the ayah? As normally we hear, the Qur'an and the sunnah. The Qur'an first and then the sunnah. So why is the hadith mentioned first here? And then the ayah mentioned after it? Here, and Allah Ta'ala knows best, because of the explicit nature or the decisiveness of the wording of the hadith, that it is a clear, absolutely clear proof that dua is ibadah. The words are two. Ad-du'a'u ibadah. Dua is an ibadah. Dua, supplication, is an act of worship. Then the ayah, you have to extract it, right, from the understanding and the flow of the ayah, and it's not explicitly clear like the hadith. Listen to the ayah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى And Allah the Most High has said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Your Lord has said, call upon me, and I shall respond to you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ Verily those who are too arrogant, who behave or manifest arrogance which prevents them from worshipping me, they shall enter Jahannam, the fire, disgraced and humiliated. Right? So if that's the case, where is that dua is an act of worship here? There's the order in the beginning of the verse, ud'uni, call upon me. Then, inna alladhina yastakbiruna an ibadati, those who are too arrogant to worship me, meaning by calling on me as I have requested, then they shall enter the hellfire, disgraced and humiliated. فَقَالُ ادْعُونِي He said, call upon me. ثُمَّ قَالَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي Then he said after that, those who are too arrogant to worship me. وَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الدُّعَاءَ عِبَادَةٌ This is an evidence that supplication is an act of worship. النَّوْعُ الثَّانِي Remember the first kind of request made to Allah is the request made by the believers in their acts of worship, in their dua of Allah. What's the second kind of request? We said the first one was an explicit verbatim, orally or verbally manifested request. So that indicates that the second one is an inward type of request. What they say, lisan al-hal. When you hear lisan al-maqal, the tongue of request, or the verbatim request, then you have lisan al-hal. You know, it's like, if I was in distress, if I was in a serious case of distress and I needed help, and I said, oh Allah, all I said was, oh Allah, did I ask Allah for the relief of my burden? In this case, we say yes, lisan al-hal. By my situation, you understood what I'm asking Allah for. Obviously, help in whatever the calamity is that I'm facing. Oh Allah, like that. That's called dua bilisan al-hal. Right? And maybe even without the request, just simply the situation. Right? It just shows that the people are requesting their provisions from Allah. We'll see how the Shaykh explains it. But that's the difference between a verbatim request where you say, oh Allah, I am in a state of difficulty. Remove the difficulty from my way. That's a verbatim request. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And at times you would say, oh Allah. As if to say, you know what I'm facing, help me. Tayyib, that's called lisan al-hal. Your situation is the tongue. Like your situation that you're in is the tongue that speaks on your behalf. You can see it clearly from the situation. Tayyib, so he says, al-thani, where is it? النَّوْعُ الثَّانِي The second type, دُعَاءٌ بِلِسَانِ الْحَالِ The supplication that is situational or contextual, but not expressed verbatim. وَهُوَ أَنَّ كُلَّ مَخْلُوقٍ مُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ And it is the reality that each and every created thing is in need of Allah. يَنْظُرُ إِلَى رَحْمَتِهِ Hoping and looking forward to His mercy. فَالْكُفَّارُ مَثَلًا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْغَيْثِ النَّازِلِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ So the disbelievers, for example, they look forward to the rain that comes down from the sky. And we'll pause here to listen to the adhan at the masjid. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So the disbelievers, مثلاً ينظرون إلى الغيث النازل من السماء. Disbelievers look to the rain that comes down from the sky, وإلى نبات الأرض, and they look to the vegetation on the earth, وإلى صحة الحيوان, they look to for health of their animals, وإلى كثرة الأرزاق, to the many provisions that follow the rainfall. وهم يعلمون, and they know, إنهم لا يستطيعون أن يجدوا ذلك بأنفسهم. They know within themselves that they, with their own capabilities, are unable to get those things, to get that provision and bring it on for themselves. فهم إذن يسألون الله بلسان الحال. So even in their need for what Allah Ta'ala has, in that situation we understand that they ask Allah by their situation. ولذلك, and thus, and, or based on everything here, إذا مستهم ضراء اضطروا إلى سؤال الله بلسان المقال. This is why even polytheists who worship other than Allah, they turn to Allah alone in times of severe difficulty. With the lisan al-maqal, with the verbatim requests, they turn to Allah alone. As Allah said, وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And if they are at sea and overtaken by a gigantic wave like a mountain or like a cloud over them, then they call upon Allah, making the religion just for Him, you know, singling Him out with the request there. So while they would normally just ask Allah by their situation, that they go out and they seek benefit or they seek profit in the marketplace, that is from Allah, whatever they would get, they go out and they seek their provisions daily without asking Allah verbatim. They're asking by their actions of seeking provisions. Then they ask Allah verbatim at times of dire need only. Whereas the believer is engaged in his whole life of asking Allah Ta'ala for his needs day and night. Allah Ta'ala says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Each and every day he is in an affair. He is involved in some kind of affair. مَنْ يُحْصِي الْأَيَّامِ. Who is it that can count all of these days? لَا أَحَدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one other than Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the mighty and majestic. وَمَنْ يُحْصِي الشُّهُورِ. Who is it that can count and enumerate all of the months, meaning the months that have existed for mankind and the creation? لَا أَحَدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. There is no one other than Allah, the mighty and majestic. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Each and every day he is involved in kinds of affairs. يعني يغني فقيرا ويفقر غنيا. That he brings riches to a poor person, and he makes a rich person poor. ويمرض صحيحا ويشفي سقيما. And he makes a person who was sick, he heals a sick person, and he brings illness to a person, he makes a person sick who was healthy, and the other person, he gets healed from a sickness. وَيُؤَمِّنُ خَائِفًا وَيُخَوِّفُ آمِنًا. And he brings safety to people who had been in fear. And he causes fear to take place within people who had been upon safety. وَهَلُمَّ جَرَّى. In situations like this, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى ذَلِكَ. Each and every day, Allah Ta'ala does these things. هذه الشؤون, these matters, التي تتبدل عن حكمة ولا شك, these matters that only come about in His creation based on wisdom, and there is no doubt in that. قال الله تعالى, and Allah the Most High has said, أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا. Have you all assumed that we have created you in play? وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And that you shall not surely be brought back to us. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. Has mankind assumed that he would be left without purpose? فَنَحْنُ نُؤْمِنُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُقَدِّرُ قَدَرًا إِلَّا لِحِكْمَةٍ. We believe that Allah has not legislated any matter of qadr, that He has not prescribed any matter to exist except for a specific point of wisdom. لكن قد نعلم هذه الحكمة وَقَدْ لَا نَعْلَمُ. However, we may attain knowledge of that point of wisdom that is connected to that action, and maybe we won't. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. And thus he said, each and every day he is involved in matters. وَلَكِنْ اِعْلَمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنِ. Have knowledge, dear believer, أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يُقَدِّرُ لَكَ قَدَرًا إِلَّا كَانَ خَيْرًا لَكَ. That Allah has not preordained anything as qadr to happen except that it is good for you. إِنْ أَصَابَتْكَ ضَرَّاءٌ فَاصْبِرْ وَانْتَظِرْ الْفَرَجِ. If some harm befalls you, some difficulty or catastrophe, then be patient and look for the relief and wait for the relief. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. And say, praise is due to Allah in each and every situation. وَكَمَا يُقَالُ دَوَامُ الْحَالِ مِنَ الْمُحَالِ. For a person's condition to remain good always is an impossibility in this life. فَيَنْتَظِرُ الْفَرَجِ فَيَكُونُ خَيْرًا لَهُ. So he waits and he looks forward to the relief from that burden, and that is something good for him. And additionally, I remind myself and all of you that the life that we live is a test. So what wisdom would be involved in being created in a test, and we do not face hardship, and we do not face loss, and we do not face adversity, and so on. The Shaykh goes on, وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ. And if some good thing happens to him, then he's thankful. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And that is better for him. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not for anyone other than a believer, that all of his affair is good, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam expressed verbatim, that this is the case of the believer, and no one other than the believer shares this case. If some bad befalls him, he's patient. And if some good befalls him, then he is thankful. And that's good for him in both cases. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. The 30th verse that we will stop with. And then which of the favors of your Lord do you both deny? Meaning, jinn and mankind. Which of the favors of your Lord do you, jinn kind and mankind, deny? نَقُولُ فِيهَا مَا قُلْنَا فِي الْآيَاتِ السَّابِقَةِ. We say about it what we have said about the previous verses, meaning with this wording, الْمَعْنَى بِأَيِّ نِعْمَةٍ مِنْ نِعْمِ اللَّهِ تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the blessings, from the blessings of Allah, do you deny? وَالْجَوَابِ. And the response is, لَا نُكَذِّبُ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ. We do not reject any of the blessings of Allah. We do not denounce or reject the blessings of Allah, not one of them. بَلْ نَقُولْ هِيَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَلَهُ الشُّكْرُ. We say instead that they are from Allah, and thus He is worthy of praise and thankfulness. وَمَنْ نَسَبَ النِّعْمَةَ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُكَذِّبٌ. And someone who ascribes a blessing to other than its source, to other than Allah, then he is someone who denies that blessing by attributing it to someone other than the source of it. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَقُلْ إِنَّهُ مُكَذِّبٌ. Even if he doesn't say that he is someone who denounces or rejects that blessing, but by his action he rejects it. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَتَجَعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. And that you have made your provisions, the provisions that Allah gave you, that you denounce or you reject Allah Ta'ala. You reject them, meaning you reject thanking Allah for the blessings that have come to you. وَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ يَعْنِي بِهَا قَوْلُهُمْ وَيَعْنِي بِهَا قَوْلَهُمْ. This verse is a reference to their statement, مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, that we received rain because of such and such constellation of stars. Meaning, such and such stars in the sky aligned in a certain way, and because of that, we received rain. وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ يُحَدِّثُ أَصْحَابَهُ عَلَىٰ إِثَرِ مَطَرٍ كَانَ. And the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said once when he was talking to his companions after a rainfall that occurred. قَالَ لَهُمْ بَعَدَ صَلَاتِ الصُّبْحِ. He said to them after the early morning prayer, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Do you know what your Lord has said? قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. They said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. قَالَ أَصْبَحَ مِنْ عِبَادِي مُؤْمِنٌ بِي وَكَافِرٌ. He said, there has become from my servants a believer in me and a disbeliever in بِالْكَوْكَبْ, in the planets. فَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ. As for the one who says, we received rain because of the bounty of Allah and His mercy. فَذَٰلِكَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِي كَافِرٌ بِالْكَوْكَبْ. That is a believer in me and a disbeliever in the planets. Meaning someone who rejects them as sources of blessings. وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ مُطِرْنَا بِنَوْءِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. As for the one who said we received rain because of such and such constellation of stars. فَذَٰلِكَ كَافِرٌ بِي. That is a disbeliever in me. مُؤْمِنٌ بِالْكَوْكَبْ. A believer in the constellations or in the planets. The hadith was collected by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. And with that, we'll stop with a brief reminder that the hadith that was collected by al-Tirmidhi, that some of the scholars call authentic. Remember when he read the Qur'an, Laylat al-Jinn, and he said, what's wrong with you? I read the Qur'an to the jinn, and they were better in response to you. Do you remember the response in that hadith, which Shaykh al-Albani called authentic? But our Shaykh here, Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, mentions that it is not authentic, and that's why he says that we respond with general speech when Allah addresses us, saying, which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? He says different answers at different times. Here, he says here, لَا نُكَذِّبُ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ. We don't reject anything from the blessings of Allah. In that hadith, which as mentioned, some scholars have considered authentic, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ نِعَمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Nothing of your favors, our Lord, do we deny, and to you is praise. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Yeah, and I think one narration may read, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ آلَائِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Nothing of the ala, which is a synonym for ni'am, the blessings or the favors of our Lord. None of your favors, our Lord, do we deny, and to you is the praise. And Allahu Ta'ala knows best. We look forward to coming back together, insha'Allahu Ta'ala, in 2 weeks' time. As next week, I will be traveling to Toronto, insha'Allahu Ta'ala, and we'll be returning here in Jumada al-Ula, insha'Allahu Ta'ala, 2 weeks from tonight's date, insha'Allah, to continue this series of tafsir. We ask Allahu Ta'ala to bring us together for His sake and to allow us to separate for His sake. Sallallahu